Hello, Michaels.
Hello.
Hello.
No fair. There's two of you and one of me. I'm feeling a little bit ganged
taking
up
over
on here. Yeah.
And we're both part of the Commonwealth, so.
Oh, that's yep. True.
Can you see the link?
It was the Queen's her 60th jubilee, right? Or what is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not quite diamond. Diamond's 50, isn't it?
I think she's already passed the diamond, hasn't she?
Well, yeah, she passed the diamond.
It's golden, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is 60 golden?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I think she's trying to beat Queen Victoria, isn't she?
She's gone forever.
She's doing well.
No, it's diamond.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, is it diamond? Okay.
Yeah,
all
golden,
right.
Golden we'd already had.
Okay, all right.
Golden's 50, diamond's 60.
And is that what she's building the big barge for? While her people starve? She's building a big barge to go down the Thames, right?
Yeah, she's just gonna hop on and go away.
Yeah, just gonna
float
keep
off
going
into the sunset.
That's right, on a great big multi-billion-dollar barge.
Did Charles commission that project or
likely?
Always blame Charles.
He just wants to get rid of us. So
actually, it's
king.
Camilla. It was Camilla. Camilla's. This is Camilla.
She wants to be queen. This is ridiculously off topic. Like,
it
it's
really
not
is.
Even close
it's
to the
so
topic.
It's so far off of the topic that we plan on speaking of. It's not even funny.
We are not being productive at all.
No.
So speaking of which, if you're managing a big, big project like building a royal barge, what would you guys be using? What are you guys liking these days for managing such productivity projects? See, I brought it back.
You did.
Always does.
You did. For me right now, I've actually made a huge jump. I was using OmniFocus, and I still have it installed, and I'm still, you know, kind of slowly moving over, but to Asana, which I talked about when I was on before, a couple episodes back.
Yeah, you mentioned this Asana thing, and I went and took a look at it. And I got to say, as web apps go... I mean, this is pretty nice.
Yeah, and they've got a native, iOS app for the iPhone. They're working on an iPad app. It's my understanding. But the reason I like it is, and the reason I'm making the move isn't so much that I'm not happy with OmniFocus, because as anyone who uses OmniFocus or has used it will tell you that, and continues to, is that it is a great. It's the best as far as I'm concerned. Mac or Apple. Productivity task management tool that you can get. But the problem is that not everybody I'm dealing with has a Mac. So, including my wife, for that matter, at work. So Asana is a web app. Plus they have, I've actually got it running on my Mac through the Fluid app, which allows me to have the web app kind of in my dock. And it allows me to manage workspaces, so I can have different workspaces, which in GTD terms, these workspaces are essentially contexts. Really.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And then what I can do is share things with certain people, keep things private. I can tag items. I can mark them for upcoming later today. I can do repeating tasks. I can email tasks to Asana. And depending on what email I send them from, they go to the right workspace. It acts in real time, too. So say you and I were building this boat, Patrick, and I start to type in, you know, get measurements by qubits. You would see me typing in that if you were looking in that workspace. So it acts like Google Wave in that regard too. So it's all very active. And the guys behind it, Dustin Moskovitz and Justin Rosenstein were, you know, with Facebook from the beginning, and they left to start this thing. And it's pretty spectacular. And I believe it's only going to get better. And that's where I'm moving to. I'm moving to Asana.
Do you think it's going to get better after Facebook's IPO and both of those people become billionaires?
I think Dustin's already got that covered. So
yeah. Well, and he's about to increase that more. So so here's the thing that I took away from Asana in the maybe 30 to 40 seconds that I looked. You know, logged in long enough to create an account and make sure no one else stole my username, which is pretty much what I do with every service that I come across. I don't actually use these things. I just log in and protect my personal intellectual property. It is definitely kind of team driven. And I would say that if there's any difference that I saw right away with like OmniFocus and something like that, and Asana is, I don't know. It's kind of the reason why I wouldn't necessarily use like 37 Signals Basecamp for a personal organization tool, because it's not really built with that in mind. It's built, with the team aspect in mind. And then, yeah, you could just use it personally and not communicate with people and not assign tasks to anybody or whatever. But you're going to have all this visual cruft about doing those things because we're designing it for people who do use it that way.
Well, you're right, because it's built initially for a collaborative and for team environment. That's their focus, right? But unlike OmniFocus, which doesn't scale out that big, like you can't, unless you buy and you have 5 licenses and everybody wants to use it, you can't really scale that out. You can't, there are other apps that do it. Flow does it, and a few, and, again, 37 Signal stuff. But what I've done is I've created a personal workspace that's private to me and me only. Now I can share tasks in there. So say I want to share a task with my wife or with, someone else, I can do that to individual, to those areas, should I so desire. Or I can make my whole space public and just keep certain projects private. So that's a little bit easier to manage. And then I just have workspaces. So I have like my own personal workspace. I have the workspace for Lifehack. I have the workspace for 2 of the clients I work with. And I have one for Mics on Mics, the podcast I do, as well as a couple of the other projects. And those workspaces are just off to the side and they're collapsed. So I don't really see them. So when I go to Asana first thing in the morning, I see my personal workspace. And I look at just those tasks, and I can go to each other workspace as well and look at those tasks as well, depending on what I want to work on. So if I'm working on my personal stuff, that's where I'll go first. And then I'm like, oh, it's time to go work on the podcast. What are my tasks for today? What's upcoming? So you can scale it down, which you can't scale up with these other ones. And that's what I like about it, right? So it's a matter of, again, I think the idea behind it was that they made it so that it could be used as a team, primarily for teams and project management. But because it's built to that kind of scale, you can do workarounds and bring it back down to the individual should you want to.
All right. Okay. So with that said, so here's a guy like me. I work alone. Mm-hmm. I don't really have friends, people don't want to work with me. I can't really blame them. That's not entirely true. I do have, my wife, but she kind of is forced to work with me through a series of, legal agreements that amount to indentured servitude. But me being the servant, by the way, in that
particular. Oh, no, I know. Believe me, I know.
You understand. And so whenever I go to one of these places with team collaboration in mind, even though you can dial it down, and even though, yes, I could, I could use this, for just a personal basis and keep it private and not, I'm just so, it, for me, I guess it's like, well, or I could just find something that's built for me.
You're right. It's not going to be for everybody, but let's use the 70 Decibels network as an example. Okay.
Yep.
So say you create an Asana account and you create a workspace for every single show. Mm-hmm. You can manage. So say you manage your own workspace personally. Say you decide to use it for that and you're going to do that as well as manage other workspaces. So you can go into Asana. It becomes your one-stop shop for like, okay, here's my personal stuff. Now I've got to go work on the bro show. I'm going to invite, Terry and these other, this is a task for Terry. This is a task for so-and-so. So it's all managed in one space. So Patrick, say it's going to be, enough that you're going to work on, right? He can share that space with you and assign you certain tasks. He can also watch where you're at. So like show notes, for example, anyone who creates the project or is overseeing it can kind of look and see, okay, when is this going to be done? Who's working on this? So it allows for that fluidity, but also say, for example, you're going to be a guest on one of the shows. because you're working in Asana, you can, and Mike, you've already added Patrick to kind of your team, quote unquote, you can then say, okay, I'm going to share episode whatever with Patrick because he's going to be a guest on it to remind him that, that he's going to be there. So, and again, it's the other beauty part about all of this is that it's free. Which is, I should have probably mentioned off the top, which again, there's a cost, and see, this is the, this is, there's a cost to that, which hasn't been entirely, you know, determined yet as to where, why this is free, other than the fact that, that I'm taking it at face value that these guys really wanted to build this based on their motto that they wanted, they had all the resources in the world. What would they do to help people? What would they build? And they built this. So that's what I'm going on the principle of right now. But it allows you to, it gives you that option to do all that. So you could essentially go into Asana, Mike, and use it all for managing all of the guys, all the people on the 70 Decibels network, and everything could live right there if that's the way you wanted to work it.
So I am starting to do that, but with WonderKit.
WonderKit's so noisy to me.
I love it. So WonderKit is behind the guys at Six Wonderkinder who made Wonderlist, which is a cross-platform free GTD list application. And WonderKit is their shot about this sort of stuff. So they've basically doing team workspace stuff. So I've got workspaces, task lists, notes, and I've created one for all of the shows, and I'm inviting some people to them, people that I know will want to use the app or I know are using the app. And I'm giving it a real good trial. And if it carries on the way it is for now, then I might start begging and pleading Mr. Patrick Roan to sign up and use that instead of what we're using at the moment, which is Backpack, which I'm not a massive fan of. But I love WonderKit. It, from a UI perspective, it fits in quite nicely with me, where maybe Mr. Mike Vardy doesn't like it so much, but for me it works really nicely, and it's simple enough but powerful enough for the way that I like to work. So there's not too much functionality to bog me down in. It's very simple, but it can be as powerful as I want to make it, and that it's a big thing for me at the moment is really getting my hands on this because I'm enjoying it a lot.
I've been playing with it too. I just find it. I guess maybe it's the interface that gets in the way for me. You know, it's pretty. It's just like WonderKit, WonderList is. You know, and I mean, I've been beta testing it for a while too, but I think it's that UI noise that kind of gets in the way for me. Asana, just because it looks so quote unquote plain. And not so, I guess I'm going to use disruptive just from my own perspective. The social sharing aspects in Wonderlist are pretty cool. Plus you can have private workspaces that you can kind of update people with things on. So you can have a public URL, which allows you to say, hey folks, here's what's going on. Here's what's going on with enough. And you can post that on your website or share it with whomever via Twitter or whatnot, which I think that's very cool. Whereas Asana is not so much social sharing in that regard. It is, I would say that Wonderlist is probably, or WonderKit is probably the closest competitor to Asana in terms of what these guys are doing. Because I don't think, plus it's also free for now, right? It's in beta, so we don't know what it's going to be.
They're doing a beta at the moment, and they're giving everyone pro accounts. Mm-hmm. But on their site, they have got a breakdown as to what will happen after it's pro. However, at the moment, the site isn't loading for me.
Oh, that's promising.
I've got a bit of a flaky internet connection tonight.
That's my Asana's working just fine right now.
mm-hmm. Again, Asana's site isn't loading for me either. I don't know how much I'm talking to both of you.
That's...
But they're strange. Doing... I think from my memory, the pro account then becomes $5 a month. But they do have a free option that allows you to subscribe to X amount of workspaces or whatever. So the pro users are the people like me. I've currently got like 8 or 9 workspaces. And as it goes at the moment, this GTD apps tend not to stick with me, but WonderKit is sticking.
Interesting.
That's good.
And why is that, Michael?
I think it's simply because as I say, for me, it works nicely from a UI perspective. It makes sense to me, and it looks good enough. It's not asking me to it's not, you know, suggesting that I use contexts and projects and all that stuff, because that kind of becomes too much for me when I have to start managing it that way. I tend to clock out, and I know that sounds crazy because that's the GTD method, but
it's
too heavy for me.
I think that goes directly to what I was saying, is that when I start seeing, you know, collaborate and assign and send message and things like that, that's when I begin to tune out. Because those
functions are there, but they're kind of out of the way. Like at the moment, the main thing that I'm using it for is, like, for me and Brad and for me and Terry and me and Josh, we're just chucking episode, oh, and Ian as well, we're just chucking episode ideas into it and fleshing out episode ideas. So it's a collaborative place for us to put ideas for, like, show topics, and then for us to go in and update them and put comments in and stuff. And they've got apps which are good, because I mean we've used Backpack from the start.
Mm-hmm. You and
but
I.
But the apps are so bad that the only time I ever use it is when I'm in front of the computer, and that's not all the time.
That is one real kind of black hole with the 37 Signals products, is the lack of good apps, even third party ones for the iPhone especially, and the iPad as well. So
I was able to get the site to load. Yeah, it's $4.99 a month for WonderKit, and you get, there's no ads on either side of it too, which is really good. You know, the free or the pro, so you're not going to get hit with ads. So I think that these guys, and they've been doing, I mean, WonderKit and Wunderlist are both there. I mean, I know a lot of people who use Wunderlist, and you can incorporate what you were doing in Wunderlist to WonderKit, which is really cool.
Well, when it's out of beta, that's going to be one of the features.
Mm-hmm.
But while it's still in beta at the moment, and it is definitely beta. I mean, I do have some problems with it, but that's why they're giving everyone free pro accounts for the first like 90 days or whatever. So hopefully it'll be out of beta then. But that's going to be one thing you'll be able to pull across your Wunderlist data into WonderKit.
See, I've just been doing okay with Todoku. So what do I know? Just give me a way to add a few tasks for the day and let it be erased at the end of the day and have me not care.
Do you think Patrick? Do you think Patrick will like Clear, Mike? Do you think he'll? It may already be out by the time this goes up.
Should be. Yeah. I don't know. I know that I will, because that's the way that I like. I mean, because at the moment my personal to do stuff is all in Simple Note and NVAlt.
See,
again, because
see, now, why
things
would,
that are overcomplicated, I'm not a big fan of.
But why wouldn't you use Wunderlist for that, and then when it goes into WonderKit, then everything's in one place?
I actually don't like the Wunderlist app.
Ah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Hmm.
Interesting.
It's weird, that, isn't it? I don't like Wunderlist, but I like WonderKit. And I know this is going to sound completely insane, but I don't like the Wunderlist UI. I know. But they're practically the same. For some reason, WonderKit is different enough that I like it.
Okay,
I don't know what.
Crazy.
It's very weird. I'm weird. Okay, I'm just weird.
All right.
But Clear's interesting. It's pretty compelling.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be. I've played with it.
It'll probably already be out by now.
I've played with it, and while it was in beta, and it's definitely not going to be, I don't think, for the GTD people that are really into it. But I think for those that are looking for. To do the, like, for simple lists and stuff like that, just the UI is pretty, I would say, I wouldn't say revolutionary, it's innovative. It's an innovative approach to it. So I think that's the big thing going for it, because as we all know, there aren't enough productivity apps available for iOS.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes when I just do a random search, like I do when I'm looking for Twitter apps, and I only get about 3 or 4 results.
See, and here I am. I've been thinking lately I should try an experiment where I get stuff done only using web apps on my iPhone, you know, but I don't know if I'm really quite there yet, but I'm awfully close. I've been, like I said, been using the Todoku, the Todokyo. I hope, I don't even know how to pronounce that. And I think I've mentioned that before here on Enough. And then I've been using, for writing lately, increasingly, I've been using Typewriter, which I've posted about a minimal Mac. I don't know. Have I mentioned typewriter here?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I believe so. So, I mean, that takes care of my writing and my tasks, and really, what else do I need? I mean, that's really all I should be doing. In any case. So what else? I mean, it just seems like, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like I'm really interested. Okay, let me back up. I'm very interested to see 37 Signals is currently working on Basecamp Next, where they, by their own statements, have completely thrown out every idea they've had about Basecamp and where they are with it and what it is currently, and are rebuilding something brand new from the ground up. They're completely going back to the drawing board with project management and collaboration with that and things like that. So there's a lot of play going on in the space right now. And I'm wondering at what point is all of this activity circling around a deeper problem? And that deeper problem being that at the end of the day, there's no real fundamental change in the way that we manage tasks and lists.
I think we're always going to have the problem of people doing productive instead of being productive. I think I think it's weird because you see an evolution of people, like, because I'm basically, I test a lot of apps because writing for Lifehack, that's kind of my thing, but I don't spend a lot of time in them after I'm done. And Asana is kind of the place where I'm spending a lot of my time now, because that's where that tool allows me to make stuff better, you know, whether it's efficiently, effectively, whatever, that's what it's doing. So I'm more about the why am I using this tool, not how does this tool work kind of thing. And I think, but we're always seeing the new group of people come in going, I need to get more productive. I got to try this. This didn't work. Okay. Oh, this didn't work. Oh, this didn't work. And that's the kind of thing that these apps feed, right? You know, they feed this, OmniFocus is an example of an app that can do so much, but because it could do so much, people get scared off by it, and you don't need to be. I mean, you can use it as much or as little as you want, kind of like what you said about WonderKit, Mike. I mean, but the problem is, you're right, I think the problem isn't so much the technology, it's that people are thinking that the technology will solve the problem.
Well, and it's one of the reasons why, and I've stated this before, I have no problem switching around to various productivity apps. None. Zero zip. A lot of people, you know, talk about switching costs and, you know, how, you know, you're spending more time moving things around. I just don't have those things. As a matter of fact, I switch around between things often, and I do so based on need, right? I started using OmniFocus again recently because we've got, you know, a couple of major, you know, multi-step, you know, big, hard to get your head wrapped around projects that that I'm going to have to manage. And when I, you know, when I come across those, that's the time to pull out the sledgehammer. When those go away and things calm down a bit, well, then it's the time to go back to the regular hammer I was using, right?
So,
go ahead.
So, when it comes to technology too, paper is another one. Like, I know you're a pen and paper guy. We talked about this before. Do you go through notebooks before moving into another one, or do you switch back and forth? Because I know that's another kind of stopgap for a lot of people, is they have like 20 notebooks because they got the latest fancy Moleskine or something new from JetPens or whatever that they really wanted to try, and then they've left like eight, you know, they've only used eight pages of notebook beforehand.
I've been a little bit guilty of that. But when it comes to like my tasks and things like that, when I'm for task stuff, I use Levinger Circa.
Right.
So I don't worry about that, because I can have as many pages as I want or don't want in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's another reason for that, and that's because I can, you know, do a lot of moving stuff around, right? I can, you know, basically, you know, write out, open it up to any blank page, start capturing some tasks or some notes or whatever, and then I can move that page to, you know, well, here's the rest of the pages for that project. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I tend to use paper. Yeah, I tend to use paper as like the ultimate inbox for me at this point. Like I flesh out a lot of ideas on it. I think it's important to take your eyes off the screen and put it on paper, mainly because I think ideas flow a lot better for me, at least, on paper. And then when I'm ready to move them to Asana, or if I'm using, say, Evernote to keep track of notes or whatever, I can move them there. If I have the paper in front of me, and I also use the paper to kind of get a break from the technology, because I think you need that. I don't think enough people take their eyes off the screen and focus on, you know, just the process. They're just worried about getting it in there as opposed to just why I'm putting it in there.
Yeah. Well, and for me, the paper really, because I keep it sitting out next to my computer or wherever I am, sitting out staring at me, I have all of the things I need to be doing staring at me all the time, mm-hmm. saying, do me, do me, do me, right? And I think that that's the biggest benefit I get out of paper. It's one of the reasons why, I like the idea and still continue to do this, where I write down a few tasks for the day on an index card. And that index card stays right next to my computer. And then when I get up and move somewhere else, that index card comes with me. I slip it in my Levenger pocket briefcase and take it to... stick it in my pocket and take it with me around throughout my day, so I can always have this card that tells me what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mike, do you use paper? Do you use paper a lot?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I take a lot of notes, and just in general, I the way that I remember things, if I take notes. So, like, if I've got meetings and stuff, then I'm a notes person, and also I do all the show notes for all the shows on paper too.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, so, I mean, I think that, you know, I find it interesting that there's so many productivity apps and so many, I mean, it seems like a day doesn't go by that I don't get word of a new one, either in my personal inbox, you know, some developer, you know, hey, I just wrote a new to-do list app that I think would be great on minimal Mac because it works exactly the same as the 10 others you've posted about that do exactly this thing using Dropbox. Oh, that's novel, isn't it? No, not really. But once again, you know, there's no true innovation in that space. You know, the closest thing to innovation I've seen in this space was Epic Win, which turned into an Epic Fail.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Epic Win?
I still have it on my iPhone. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was.
Didn't that work?
Because I think there were too many barriers for people to get, you know what I mean? I think that the barriers were too big. I think people were like, oh, and the sense of accomplishment you got from that game, because it was a game, really, wasn't enough to keep people interested for very long. They don't like to think of that kind of stuff as a game. They like to think of it as a chore. And I think that was part of the problem. It was a great idea, and I think it was really well done. It just it caught fire for what, like just before it launched, and then after it launched, it fizzled exactly. out.
Like, you know.
It launched without a bunch of necessary features,
yeah,
like alerts and recurring tasks and stuff like that.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And also, wasn't it like? I remember there being something about before the launch. It seemed like there'd be an easy way to actually play this game against other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out not to be as easy as they had advertised.
No, I think that, yeah, there was, I think that they couldn't connect up. And plus the adoption rate was pretty low in terms right. of, you know, and so I honestly think that, so, I mean, Productive does this too, where they have the gaming profile where you kind of compete against other people and stuff. And I think that kind of stuff honestly, when it comes to productivity, will wear thin really fast, because I don't think that there's, I mean, it's like I quit Foursquare a long time ago because what did I get? I got badges. Okay, great. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that that kind of thing will hold people to an app for very long. I think what will hold them to an app is if they can trust it and if it lets them get the stuff done that they're putting into it. What keeps people going to other apps is that I don't think it's the app that fails them all the time. I think it's the notion that I'm not getting enough done because it's the app and it's not necessarily, it's their habits. I think a healthy combination of paper and technology and digital is the best way to go, because, and stick with one, like I've always said to people, stick with one tool for 30 days at minimum, because you're not giving it enough time. If you jump out, you know, after a week of using it, it's just not enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of agree with that too. So this clear thing, Mike is bullish on it, and you're bearish. The big innovation I see there is mainly it's kind of this gesture based interface for your tasks and projects and revealing things with swipes and pinches and zooms and things like that, right?
Yep.
Am I capturing that well?
Yeah, I'm like a crow, right? It's shiny and it looks fancy, so I just want it.
Yeah.
And that will make me use it more because I'm shallow like that.
But if you're a crow, then you can't pull apart tasks because you don't have a thumb to add a new task in between two other tasks, so you won't be able to do that.
I have to get another crow to help me.
Seriously, when I was playing with it, I actually had to use two fingers to make it spread apart because the UI on that pull apart wasn't as responsive as... Now, mind you, again, it wasn't beta, so maybe they fixed it by the time that they released it, but it wasn't as slick. I actually had to pinch and turn, which is very awkward. So, but again, it's so... The lack of buttons, the lack of being able to see your projects at first glance, to me, is going to be the barrier for people who are into productivity more than those who aren't. If it's like a grocery list or a quick list, or your three big tasks for the day, perfect. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing. But beyond that, I just don't think that innovation of gesture-based lists and UI is going to be enough to make it have a long shelf life for people.
Anyone have any opinions on what sort of thing would come along that would really change the game? Not just as far as to-do apps go, but also as far as for your own personal, like, what would you love to see that you haven't seen yet or that you think, I mean, you get what I'm saying? Just do a little future thing here. So I can think of one for me.
I've tried so many, so it's hard for me to think of one offhand.
Yeah.
I think a better integration of email and like the email inbox and like an external inbox and the understanding that it's important to get things out of email and into an action inbox easily without. There's that psychological barrier that I think a lot of people have where it's like, well, wait a minute, it's in my inbox and email. I want to get it to, why do I want to put it in another inbox? I think if there could be something that really makes that seamless, it almost flips the switch for people where they're like, you're right. Why am I using my mailbox as my inbox for all of my stuff? Because I don't use my post office box as my inbox for all my stuff because that's stupid. So, you know what I mean? I think that if there was something, some kind of tool that would let that happen like seamlessly and flip that switch for people, that's what I'd love to see.
I know for me, and this is really future think here, but I would love a task management that's almost, for lack of a better term, core level, so that I could be on Twitter, looking through my Twitter feed, and you know, be kind of sitting there for a while, and have this thing that pops up that says, "Hey, I notice you've been on Twitter for a bit. you've got this writing project that you said you wanted to complete by 5 p.m. today. Would you like me to switch to your preferred writing app right now so you can start that? Because it's 3:30. Because I know on average it takes you 2 hours to write a piece, and that's why I'm popping up now and noticing what you're doing and making this suggestion.
So what we're looking for is a willpower app.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but certainly something that's smart, right?
Right.
Something that is a lot smarter than just dumping things into a list and then removing things from said list, right? Because ultimately, that's what every to-do app is, and even the one that you write down on paper. It doesn't matter. It's putting capturing it and then erasing it. Whether you're checking it off, whether you're putting a strike through it, whether you're actually deleting it, it is capturing it and erasing it. Erasing after you've completed it.
There's something interwoven within that's almost intuitive to the point where it knows you've been on this address for a while. It's like, listen, even so much as to say, oh, you're on Twitter right now. Don't forget to send these three tweets, or don't forget to do this. Oh,
yes.
And by the way.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That level of smartness. The level of smartness that looks at what I'm doing and makes suggestions appropriate to what I'm doing. But also takes into consideration time factors, right? That it's not going to suggest I get started on that writing project at 4:45 when I've told it it's due at 5.
Right.
That it looks at how long between, starting and finishing a writing project, I take on average, and then uses that average to gauge when it should bug me about getting started on the next one.
That would be slick.
I mean, that would be some true innovation, right? But everything else is simply reinventing the wheel, and we're going to keep doing it 100 times over now with iOS apps. Right. There is zero innovation and not just iOS apps, zero innovation with web apps, zero innovation just on the productivity to do front, zero innovation there.
Yeah. Because even with paper, I mean, how long did we were using day planners that had, this is how a day planner should be, even though our lives have changed. Right. So, yeah, you're right. It's the slowest moving, which is weird, but productivity. And time management, it's the slowest moving aspect.
Yeah, exactly, right? Well, and I kind of relate this back to, I made a rather controversial tweet the other day about iBooks Author, essentially saying that when you get down to it, just from a purely content perspective, not talking about how you interact with content, not talking about the device the content is on, not talking about any of those things, not talking about the cost, just talking about just from a kind of feeling standpoint, these interactive textbooks that are being, that are supposedly all the new rage and are going to change education, these are no different than the interactive CD-ROMs that were big in the 90s. Oh, here's an embedded QuickTime video. Here's some writing wrapped around a picture that moves. When you pinch, when you click on this picture, it actually turns into a movie, or these graphs change in real time, and it's like, yeah, about the only thing that I'm missing is the zip, 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 as the optical drive turns. But otherwise, pretty much the same thing.
And the broader bund logo. You're missing that, too.
Yes. So I guess what I'm getting down to is that it seems to me that as long as the content is still thought of in the same way, we're not going to see the sort of innovation there that I think really needs to happen to really make a productivity app that's going to really help with how people get things done. Until that time, it's basically going to be the same things over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my humble opinion. But I'm glad, hey, I'm glad Asana's working for you. Michael, I'm glad WonderKit is working for you.
Thank you.
We'll see where Clear brings things, since it seems to be the hot new toy that everyone's excited about. You know, hopefully one of these people will figure out a way to really change the game one day. Or maybe someone else will. We'll see. So, Mr. Vardy, you got to tell the three people that are listening where they can find you.
You can find me at MikeVardy.com. I'm on the Twitter at MikeVardy, and I've also got a fairly new podcast, Mike's on Mikes. It's at MikesOnMikes.com with myself and Michael Schechter from ABetterMess.com.
Very, very cool, and it's a great podcast, so congrats to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, then, I think we've productively talked productivity into the grave. So thank you very much, and we'll talk later.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.